Poutini friends, welcome in. You're listening to Jawa Chatter, a Star Wars podcast made for those that love the series and newcomers that want a guide to know more. New episodes drop early every Thursday. I am one of your hosts. Just kidding. I'm your only host today, Jeffers, the middle ground fan. Yeah, let me explain that real quick. So Nerdy is doing a job. He's doing a show. He's slammed. Claudia, she'll get back from COVID starting tomorrow, but doesn't have a place to record currently. So it's just me, your friendly neighborhood Jeffers. Now don't touch that dial. I know what you're thinking. I don't want to listen to this without them. And you know what? I don't blame you. However, I'm going to bring you something a little different today, a little bit of flavor. This is not going to be a long episode. I do recommend you going over to YouTube if you're not subscribed. I think this is a great episode to watch slash listen to on YouTube. Though if you can only listen, then please, by all means, listen on Spotify, Apple, or any podcast provider. We really appreciate it. So today, Obi-Wan Kenobi, episode 4, the review. Let me just preface this whole thing with how I feel summed up, sort of. Overall, I am sad to say that this was probably the weakest episode of Kenobi, is episode 4. What's worse about that is we only get 6 episodes, so it hurts to have even one that's maybe not up to par. The other thing is the runtime, 36 minutes. If you've listened to the other episodes, I've kind of thrown out concern about this. We only get 6 episodes. Having one under 45 minutes is, in my opinion, a bit of a blow. At the end of the day, right, tell the story. It doesn't matter how much time, though. But this one didn't really hit the mark, and it was only 36 minutes for me. But overall, like, I still enjoyed it. I'm not going to just go in this episode and crap on it, so don't worry. We are not that type of channel. In fact, we're going to start with the good. So let's do that. Let's start with the good moments. I really like the symbolism in this, the connection between Obi-Wan and Vader. We kind of open with him in the tank, Vader in the tank, flipping back and forth between their burns. The burn on his arm that Vader gave him, which would have likely resulted in a lot more burns if he had had more time with Obi-Wan in a facility somewhere. So yeah, that was the start of pain, but you know, it obviously we know that he doesn't get him, he doesn't kill him, and he doesn't get to torture him, but I love the symbolism here. I thought it was well done, it was a good shot. After that, we finally get to meet Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson Jr. It's a small role for now, but you know, I was kind of wondering when we see him pop up in this show. Judging by how this episode ended, we easily could see him in a bigger role in the next 2 episodes. So that was interesting. Also, let's be clear. This is Tala's show today. This is the Tala show. And this woman is a badass. Please, please, please give me more of this character. Since you didn't kill her off, don't kill her off, all right? Don't do it. She's awesome. I would watch a whole show surrounding this character. She is incredible. She basically spits in the face of fear. She faces down Reva, an inquisitor, a psychotic one at that, might I add, and lies multiple times. She puts herself in danger, and she does so for a cause that is not fully realized yet, okay? This is not the Rebel Alliance yet. She is the beginning of it. She is helping it, but she is willing to sacrifice herself purely to save people. I think the character is amazing. I love her. I kind of hope she doesn't die. I kind of think she is going to die, but if I could see her pop up again in Star Wars later, I'd be thrilled about it. Look where we are. The Inquisitorium. Do these hallways look familiar? Maybe the underground tunnels and water, the interrogation room that Leia was in. You see where I'm going with this? Anyone? No? If you do know where I'm going with this, that means you probably played Jedi Fallen Order, if it looks familiar to you. If you didn't, fair play. Tiny spoiler here. The final scenes of that game actually take place in this facility. So this was kind of a like trip back for me. I love that game, and to see the parallels between them was really cool. And it didn't stop at just the scenery. The parallel here with Obi-Wan Kenobi holding the glass that was breaking with the Force, very eerily similar to the game when Vader was doing the same thing to keep himself alive. He was holding the glass with the Force. So now it's flipped. We have Padawan and Master, good and evil, and they switched in the Inquisitorium. So I thought that was really interesting. Now, in case anyone had any doubts, I think this episode put it to rest. Little Leia is a badass. Leia's a badass no matter how old she was, apparently. And I believe that. And by the way, this actress is freaking killing it. Kudos to whoever casted her, but even more credit to the actress. She is killing it. And I'm so happy to see it. I'm so proud of her. I think all Star Wars fans are. She embodies Leia. Rest in peace, Carrie Fisher. I bet she would be super proud of this portrayal of Leia. Let's talk the Jedi Tomb. Yeah, so that part of the episode, that got real dark real fast. Apparently, the Inquisitorium and Empire keep their prizes for Jedi. Now, this didn't show up in Jedi Fallen Order, but this was really interesting. There were a lot of tombs, and we only saw a very small handful that were apparently filled with either Jedi or Force-sensitive beings that have been killed or, you know, kept to study? We don't really know. If we're going off of information from other shows, what's most likely happening, and actually the sequel trilogy, what's most likely happening is they might be harvesting them for their Force powers. The Mandalorian actually kind of hinted at this as well for why they wanted Baby Yoda / Grogu. And I think that might be what's going on here. It might have also helped process for Palpatine to clone himself down the road for the sequel. Not sure. I'm sure that'll come into play, and we'll find out more about it. Maybe not in this show, but something else like Bad Batch, or who knows. But yeah, it was a really, I don't want to say cool because that kind of seems morbid, but it was really cool. I did not expect that to be there, and kind of makes me wonder who else is in there. And I wanted to kind of like point out some of the noteworthy Jedi in case they're kind of low key, to be fair. And I think that was on purpose. A really big one, though, probably one of the most notable is Tara Sanube. He's an alien who kind of vaguely resembled a dog, if you saw him. Like, we have the full body shot of him. He was in the Clone Wars, and he was in a few episodes. He was a mentor towards Ahsoka. He helped her at basically the depths of Coruscant, the underworld, when she lost her lightsaber. And it seems like, sadly, he was killed during Order 66 or the Purge. We're not really sure. Another character we see, which isn't necessarily named and is real dark, real sad, it's a youngling. This makes me think that maybe, just maybe, that room full of younglings that Anakin killed, or another room that he killed, they might have just come from there. Because they were wearing the training headsets that you actually see in episode 2 when Yoda is training them. So it definitely is a callback to that, and I wouldn't be surprised if, yeah, it was one of the ones from the room. Kind of resemble one of them as well. Either way, it's a youngling from the temple. It's pretty dark image. Was not expecting that in this show, but yeah, another callback to the prequels. Well played. Now, some people on the internet are calling out a couple of characters they think they're seeing in the background of these tombs, and I kind of want to clear the air on those, kind of tell you why this is probably not the case. So there's two I've been hearing about. Mace Windu was one of them. They think they saw Mace Windu in the background. I'm going to go with no, and here's why. That is a huge, huge name, and if they wanted shock value, believe me, they're not going to put him in the background. If they really want to get your attention with a Jedi that big of a name, they would put him front and center. He'd be one of the ones that Obi-Wan saw and have a reaction to. Now, I'm not saying that means Mace Windu's out there alive or that we'll see him in Star Wars again, but highly, highly doubt that he was in the background when we saw him. I'm not saying he isn't there, but I don't think Obi-Wan saw him, and I think it's actually probably unlikely he's there at all. Either they never recovered his body, or by some really, really off chance, Mace Windu is alive. I mean, that'd be great, but don't hold your breath. The other notable one was Quinlan Vos. Now, if you remember correctly, in just the previous episode, we talked about Quinlan Vos. Obi-Wan mentioned him by name in live action. Now, he's in the Clone Wars quite a bit, but his story never gets wrapped up fully in the Clone Wars, which is why he's able to appear here, if only by name. The reason I am very confident that he was not in one of those tombs or seen in the background is because you don't drop the name of that character so noticeably and then just throw him in the background, especially since it's one of Obi-Wan's friends. He knows him. He would have had a reaction to that. And honestly, unlike Mace, it's very possible we do see Quinlan Vos come to a future Star Wars project. Whether that be live action or animated, who knows? I would probably bet more on the animated side, but you never know. So yeah, don't think he was in there, but definitely think it's possible we will see him again. Also, two fun little things, very minor here, but I love seeing the snow speeders, but not on a snow planet. And also, they weren't really technically being flown by soldiers, so therefore they kind of showed us what I've always thought about the snow speeders, which is they look the most out of place. They kind of like the most thrown together ship in Star Wars, and I loved that about them. They're just like, the Rebels are using whatever's at their disposal, and that's what the snow speeder resembles to me. It's ingenuitive, it's creative, but it also kind of looks like different pieces of scrap, you know? And I think that's kind of like a call out to that, in my opinion, is that that's kind of what they're referencing. It's like, you know, they'll use what they can get. And I thought it was great. I love the snow speeders. I absolutely love that ship. So to see it in there was fantastic. The other little thing, and it's very little, it is, I'm nerding out here, so just, you know, bear with me, is we see Obi-Wan going through the water with the Aquata breather. That's what they call them in Star Wars, Aquata breather. Very creative, I know. The last time we saw Obi-Wan with an Aquata breather, words are hard, was in episode 1 with Qui-Gon and Jar Jar when they were going to the Gungan city. So I love that little callback, and yeah, made my nerd heart happy. All right. Now let's talk about the bad, and don't worry, I'm not one to harp on stuff. I still enjoyed the episode for the most part. I'm not going to tear it. This podcast, this YouTube channel is not one that's going to, it's not a Star Wars related media or review that's going to tear into it like a porg on a cupcake. Excuse my reference. Sure, just porgs eat cupcakes. Just follow with me here. Look, I just think the biggest issue here is simply this. It's the goal of the episode. What was it trying to convey? What were they going for here? It felt like a link in episode. It felt like a linchpin. It felt like it was just trying to get us from point A to point B with no real risk and no very little reward at the end. There just really wasn't too much that happened even within the 36 minutes. Yes, we had tense moments, and I thought those were good. We saw the inside of the Inquisitorium, which was great, and all the other stuff I talked about previously. Again, not saying there's nothing good about it, but is it progressing the story? Is it giving us more information? Are we getting anything from it? And I just didn't feel like we did. Not compared to the other three episodes. I really don't think there was as much there. Again, not saying it's terrible. Just saying I was... You know, it just didn't quite really hit for me. It felt like, I don't want to say a waste of an episode, but when you only have 6 episodes, and if you waste any part of just one of them, it does kind of suck. And that's kind of how I felt on this episode. There's a bunch of stuff I liked about it, but overall, for the most part, it felt weak. And to have even one episode when we only have 6 kind of sucks. Also, how they get out of there. Like, I wondered the whole time, like, how they're going to get out of there. And then when they did, I was like, how they get out of there unscathed and all of them are alive. Like, I thought Tala was dead. Like, she's a badass. I love her. I want to see her more of her. But I thought for sure she was going to die. And so when they escaped, I was kind of like, But it turns out that this was part of Reva's plan all along. So she's going to get them all in one go. One big bowl. Just basically get whatever this path is, you know, all that they're setting. And then Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan's the only real prize that she cares about anyways, which she says straight up with Vader in the room. And, you know, Vader obviously agrees. They're both of the same mindset at this point, which again reinforces something I kind of think we found out about Reva in this episode. And so that leads me to Reva. She still feels one note. She does. She's basically the big bad wolf, or in this case, she's the big bad wolf's cousin. And Vader's the big bad wolf, I guess. It's hard. She just seems like she's evil to be evil. But maybe, and we keep saying this every episode, though. Every episode, if you listen to the other episodes that we've done, we just keep saying, well, maybe this is the episode we're going to find out, like, her background information and what's up with her. And then we don't. So we're 4 episodes in, and we really don't know what's driving her. But I will admit, she gave us some information, but it was small, but it confirmed something that I thought about her anyways. She was trying to play on Leia's fear of loss. and being abandoned and being alone and being abandoned again. She really, really harped on her that saying, they're going to leave you. They left Obi-Wan to die. They're going to leave you to die. No one's coming. They don't care about you. She kept saying they. She slammed the symbol of the Jedi on the table. So this pretty much, to me, I would bet, I'm not a betting man, but if I did, I would bet money at this point that, and I've said this in previous episodes, that is her in the first scene, which I think we all kind of know, right? Like, that's not a secret, but it hasn't, you know, we haven't seen the scene since where she's in the Jedi Temple, she's the younglings, and they're running away. Now, something happens, obviously. She either gets captured, or her friends get killed, or she's left behind. Whatever the case here, she has a loathing, a hate for the Jedi. And yes, they've hunted down other Jedi, and I'm sure that felt great, but she has a hyperfixation on Obi-Wan Kenobi. And again, my theory is this. He is not only one of the last remaining Jedi, he is a Jedi Master. He was on the Jedi Council. He was one of the most well-known Jedi that during this war. And she was left behind. He didn't come for her. He didn't come for anyone. He only went for Anakin on Mustafar and left. I really think she feels like if he had cared, then he would have come to the temple and tried to save anyone that was there. He would have tried to get her. He would have like, I'm not saying anything like here necessarily might be logical, but this is definitely her mindset of like, I want revenge for being turned into this, for being left behind, for all this hate that I feel. And yeah, I think with her trying to basically, you know, talk Leia into outing her friends, outing the information that she knows, all stems from her being feeling like she was abandoned, her being turned into this. Now, I'm still betting that we're going to see that happen in the show. I really don't think we're going to leave this 6-episode show and not see that. But you got to think it's going to come soon, right? I keep saying that. So I don't know. Either way, I think it was nice. It makes me feel like maybe Reva isn't as one note. But until we get confirmation, all I can play is the guessing game here. So we'll see. But right now, she's still a bit one note. But I do like that we got a little bit of information. So that is one of the positives out of the negatives, in my opinion. Overall, the episode was all right. Like, it was just fairly weak for me. After the last 3 episodes that we got, which I personally think were pretty amazing. I mean, very little is flawless, but they were very good, and I love them a lot. I just felt like this one was a linchpin to get to the final battle, the big impending brawl that's going to happen in the next 2 episodes. But I'll be very curious to see what they do. In case you haven't heard, there is a lot of chatter going around on a lot of sites, not just like some BS little ones that try to get clickbait. There is a lot of talk that, again, this is not confirmed, I'm just saying, there will be a season 2 of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And given the fact that how well Obi-Wan Kenobi has done this series, it's Disney Plus's biggest show ever. So yeah, I don't think that's much of a stretch really at this point. I think it's pretty much all but confirmed. Now, the question really is, will they actually change the ending? I don't know. I with editing, you can do anything, folks. I think some people be like, well, what would they do? They've already filmed it all. I'm like, well, you just fade to black at the moment before the whatever big moment they were going to do at the end. And then you're left on a cliffhanger. It's really that simple. You can get away with anything with editing, folks. They have all the footage. All they got to do is cut off part of what they were going to do. That would have wrapped it up. And instead, they leave us hanging and we go on to season 2, whenever that happens. Ewan McGregor has expressed a lot of interest to do this. And he said he had a lot of fun. But really, at the end of the day, I think it's just the numbers. I think the money made, the viewership gained, I think that'll sell it. I think that we will see a season 2. Well, thank you so much for watching, friends. Thank you for listening. I do appreciate your patience. We will have Claudia and Nerdy back next week, both of them. It will not be the Just Jeffers Jawa Chatter podcast. Don't you worry. I hope you had a good time, though. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please put them in the comments on YouTube or anywhere else. We appreciate all the 5-star reviews you've given. If you haven't given a 5-star review, we'd love to have it. It would really help us. If you don't want to give a 5-star review and want to give less than that, then just completely ignore everything that I'm saying. Jawa Chatter, you can find us everywhere. Social media as Jawa Chatter, YouTube, every podcast platform on Jawa Chatter. So if you want to reach out to us or follow us any of those, we'd be happy to have you, friends. I hope you are enjoying the show so far. I still am, despite this episode. I promise you, I'm absolutely loving it. Cannot wait until next week. Until next time, friends, Utini, and may the Force be with you. Bye.